We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today I sat down with Julie Richardson of Julie Ann Art. Julie started her business in 2008 as a side hustle and has seen great success over the last 9 years. She sells wholesale as well as direct to consumer and has had almost 70,000 sales on Etsy. On today's episode, we're talking about building community with our customers, how she handles copycats, and why she's focused on creating products with purpose.
Hey, Julie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
Oh, it's exciting to sit down and talk to you.
I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So you started Julie Ann Art as a side hustle when you were working at a corporate job. What kind of corporate job was that?
I was working at a photography studio.
Oh, that comes in handy for product-based business. Did you know from the start that you wanted this to be your full-time gig?
Oh, I didn't at all. Not at all. I was completely clueless at the time.
Did you, like, well, how long were you in the corporate gig while you were building up this side hustle?
It was a few years. I opened up an Etsy shop on the side, just kind of as a creative outlet. Not much thought went into it. I literally, like, one day was like, oh, that would be fun to open a shop. Oh, I'll name it after myself. I totally won't regret that later on. And, you know, there was no real intention. It was just something as a hobby, you know, something for fun for years.
So what was the transitional point or the catalyst for making this into a full-time business for you and where you knew that you were taking it from that hobby status to more of a business?
I think after a couple years, I got more involved in social media and I started a blog, which was very beneficial to my business as well. And I started just kind of networking with other people and in doing that, realizing that I can kind of use this to help my business and my sales improved. And I really started to see potential. You know, I didn't necessarily have this plan to become a business owner, but it was kind of the response I started getting from customers that made me realize that this could be my calling. You know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I kind of let the people I was meeting and the customers that I was getting, I kind of let them guide me and show me that this is what I need to be doing.
I love that. I was looking on your Etsy shop before we got on this call, and you have had almost 70,000 sales in the last 9 years. That is super impressive. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
What do you attribute that success to?
I mean, as you say, it's over a 9-year period, so I feel like there's kind of so many things that go into it. A lot of it has to do with, like I said, the social network that I created. I have a lot of, I don't like using the word fans, but I have a lot of just supporters who have been following me for 9 years and telling their friends about me for 9 years. And I think just over time, like, I know that's such a vague answer, but I think that has a lot to do with the success that I've seen.
Are there any like major pinpoints that you can look back on and be like, okay, that was a little bit of a transition point that helped to give us a boost or that, you know, are there any things you can point to that you feel were a little more concrete?
I feel like probably around 2012, 2013, those were really good years as far as features. You know, Etsy featured me as in their Quit Your Day Job series, and I still to this day have people like, oh, I saw you on Etsy's feature, and just a couple lucky Instagram shares from, you know, people with big followings and stuff. So it's kind of like a combination of luck and hard work, I feel.
Absolutely. I love that. I think too, you know, didn't you have a couple BuzzFeed things, and you've had some publicity as well?
Yeah, BuzzFeed. I've had like multiple BuzzFeed features over the years that always ends up being pretty beneficial as far as sales go. They definitely have an engaged audience. And let's see what else. I had a friend of Lauren Conrad's gave her a card of mine for her birthday, and she shared it on Instagram. Like, just randomness. Like, how could that have happened besides selling on Etsy? So in those ways, I feel just lucky.
Absolutely. No, I definitely think it is like any successes any of us have, right? It's a combination of doing the hard work and trying to be as strategic as we can. But there is an element of luck to it as well, just timing that you necessarily can't control.
Too. Exactly.
So you have sold primarily through retail channels, especially in your early years. You mentioned that you're on Etsy, and I know you have your own online shop too. When did you decide to start wholesaling, and what kind of pushed you in that direction?
Well, I think it was probably after I decided to quit my day job, and I was like, okay, I really need to buckle down and do as much as I can, reach as far as I can. And that was probably in 2013, 2014. And I just kind of started cold emailing stores, and didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I hadn't done trade show boot camp. I didn't really have people in the industry to talk to about it. So I just kind of did the best I could. I mean, a lot of this has been me kind of figuring it out as I've been going along and kind of just reacting to things that were happening to me versus actually having a plan.
Right.
So
I think our audience can, and I myself can relate to that. I've spent a lot of time learning by trial and error and just figuring things out as I went. Frankly, I think we still do that now, even though we've been in business for as long as both you and I have.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will say that, you know, having that community of bootcamp, I hope that was a help to you in terms of leveraging, you know, the experience and the knowledge for your wholesale program.
Oh, definitely. I feel like, I mean, just seeing it, I can see the benefit of having Trade Show Bootcamp as a resource just by the amount of wholesale orders I'm getting. You know, when I was first starting out and kind of cold emailing, I didn't have a catalog. I didn't have a line sheet, like literally did not know what I was doing. So, but at the time, like I didn't know how much that I didn't know. And yep. Now like, I feel like I've come a long way.
So. You have, but you were seeing a lot of great success on your own as well. But, you know, it is different. Wholesale is very different than selling direct to consumer. And I know that you know, for the first early years of your business, you were doing things like craft show. You were really hustling. You had your Etsy shop. You were doing craft shows. Are you still doing those kind of things and nurturing your retail relationships that way?
Well, it's funny because we just recently, well, not super recently, but we moved this past year, and this is kind of a new scene. I don't know all the local shows, that kind of thing. And I've been realizing how much I've been missing craft shows. Like, some people are like, oh, craft shows are so much work. But to me, I feel like they are my bread and butter, because there's nothing like kind of seeing a person's reaction to your product. And I feel like my products kind of do best in a one-off, you know, direct-to-consumer sort of way versus wholesale, honestly.
I was talking with Jeanette recently about craft shows too, and she was saying that the immediate feedback you get, and whether it's actual comments people make or just watching them view your products and seeing what they're drawn to, it is a huge market research benefit to doing the craft shows, in addition to the sales benefits, of course.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of times the people at craft shows, like, they don't have a filter. So like, one person is like, what do you think? Should I get this? And the other person is like, oh no. And it's right in front of your face. So it's like, right. Okay, well, that's not my target customer, you know?
That's funny. I feel that way about wholesale shows too. I feel like sometimes the buyers, when they come into a booth, they're pretty blunt as well. So I guess that's consumers all the way around.
But yeah, that's true.
Let's switch gears and talk about your products for a bit. What inspires you when you're creating new designs and coming up with new, you know, phrases and things for your products?
Generally, I get inspired by actual conversations that I have with my friends or my husband especially. And I think that, and just kind of a combination of like pop culture, and I try to kind of play with trends, but not rely on trends, and sometimes even stay away from trends. It kind of depends.
Speak about that a little bit more, if you don't mind. Like, how has that evolved as you've evolved?
It's funny because when I first started out, I feel like I was following the trends. And now trends kind of scare me a little bit because they feel too much like, okay, that's been done. And something I really pride myself on is trying not to do stuff that has already been done. That's extremely right. important to me. So while maybe a type of product is popular at the time, I'll kind of dabble in that. But I, as far as design goes, I don't know. I try not to follow trends. You will not see me like designing with pineapples and that kind of thing. Like if you've seen my stuff, yeah. I go a little outside the box and I enjoy doing that. You know, mm-hmm. it's a little risky, but I would rather take the risk than be the same as everything else.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You have also expanded into a lot of different product categories recently. I saw you had t-shirts or tank tops on your website too. How do you decide which products to move forward with or to try and test? And do you put them out to both wholesale and retail markets at the same time?
I do put them out to both wholesale and retail. That definitely makes it a little bit more tricky when finding the right manufacturer because you have to get the pricing right. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when I didn't offer all of my products to wholesale. And now I'm at the point where I know that all of my products need to be available to wholesale. Mm-hmm. So that's important to me. As far as choosing which products I want to move forward with, you know, it's a little bit on watching the trends, and it's a little bit of what is really like something that I know I really want to do, whether uh-huh. it's trendy or not. So for a while, I was always trying to kind of fit into the paper kind of area, but it's been really fun to kind of push that. And it also teaches me things. For example, when I started doing washi tape, that was a completely new experience for me, and it was challenging, and that challenge fueled me. You know, it was something exciting and something new. So I really just kind of try to follow things that will lead me to feel excited and like challenged.
I love that. I was talking with somebody the other day about how when we're new entrepreneurs, when you're just starting out your business, you know, you're running on adrenaline and excitement and the challenge of new, right? Like there's all these things you don't know. And that's actually the majority of the things that you're working on, right? Everything is brand new to you. And so when we talk about new product categories, I feel like it kind of interjects that same adrenaline rush that we get when we're just starting up as a company and having to like research all the things and figure it all out.
Yeah. I totally agree. Not that I don't like love cards, but you know, I have that down. I have my manufacturer, or not my manufacturer, but my printer, you know, like
yeah.
I have that figured out. So it was just kind of a very fulfilling process to move on to something else that I wasn't familiar with.
And two, from a business standpoint, having a diverse line of products in your lineup, it's going to appeal to a wider range of audiences, right? Like you're going to get different types of stores on the wholesale side, and you're going to attract different types of direct-to-consumer customers as well when you have a wider range of items.
Right, like more gift items. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have been in the unfortunate position of having other artists copy your work. How have you handled this?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the day.
Right.
First of all, I feel like I now don't take it so emotionally as I did, you know, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've not become immune to it, but just I've realized it's just a con of having a creative business. Like, it's just something that we deal with in this industry. So there have been times when I have contacted stores, I have worked with a lawyer at one point, but now I honestly, unless it's really, really bad, I just kind of don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's not the right way to go about it, but for my own sanity and just for my own business, I feel like moving, I just need to keep moving forward and like keeping my head up and focusing about what I'm doing. Because if it's one thing that I've learned through all of this, it's that regardless of what they're doing, my business is just fine. You know, like I'm doing okay. They're not taking me down. Like I feel like it has given me a thicker skin and just kind of a stronger voice.
It is painful, though, when you see your thoughts or your artwork or an imitation of it pop up in somebody else's, you know, portfolio, essentially. Yeah. And I'm sure you have gone through a range of emotions when you see that, you know, the frustration of it and the anger of it. And it, like you said, it is a very personal thing. But I admire that you said to take the emotion out of it. One thing I tell a lot of my clients that are experiencing this is that you focus on doing you, because nobody else is going to create the same work the same way you do, you know. Right. And it's definitely hard to separate those emotions, though, and to look, you know, take the high road, essentially. But I know you mentioned that you've talked to an attorney at in the past. Do you have like a cease and desist letter that you kind of, I don't want to say keep on hand because that sounds so negative, but do you have kind of a system in place where you kind of figure out, is this worth pursuing or not? And then if it is, what do I do? What are my steps?
As far, I don't have a system, but I definitely have like a drafted message. I had a lawyer send a cease and desist letter one time, but other than that, I've reached out directly to people, and for the most part, it has been okay. But I'm very selective at this point about who I reach out to. Like my husband will see something and he'll be like, oh, but this is the same. And I'm like, no, but it's, you know, so I'm very particular, and again, try not to let the emotion into it, but it's hard because in a way, like my business is my baby, you know, like I have built this. So that's where the emotion comes back into play. But
of course,
I do my best to kind of.
Well, and your artwork is yours. They were ideas that came from your head and your talents, and you created them. So I know how difficult it is when we see our work elsewhere. But I do want to commend you, though, on trying to decipher what's worth pursuing and what's not.
Yeah.
I think people do let the emotions get in the way sometimes, and they want to just like, you know, attack everything. But when you think of how much time and effort is spent fighting that battle.
Yeah.
And when you look, and I'm not trying to say it's not worth the battle. I do think there are definitely times where, you know, we all need to stand up for our work and everything like that. But I also want to look at it from the end goal. What are we going to accomplish by attacking this? And is that going to be beneficial to my business? Or is that taking me away from other projects and other revenue generating things that I should be spending my time on? I don't know. I'm conflicted too, because I feel like there's too much of that happening and it needs to be combated. But at the same time, I don't want you or my clients getting distracted by it to the point that it costs you more time, effort, and money and energy to actually handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
Well, it sounds like you've kind of got, you know, a good head around it. And I agree with you. Taking that emotional side out of it, it gets really tough.
So yeah, yeah.
Let's go back to your social media following, because you not only have a large social media following, but they're very engaged. I mean, you always have a ton of comments and a lot of people that are engaged. How do you nurture your online following to make them really feel a part of your brand and the whole Juliana Art experience?
You know, I don't want to say, oh, I'm authentic, but
you are.
I feel like I'm just honest. I don't, there's not a lot of fluff in my brand or in myself. So I feel like that's really important, because you know, everyone talks about how Instagram is all prettiness and it's all staged. And so even if I take a picture that I feel like is staged, I'm still in the comments going to be real about it. Yeah. And I think that that is something that people enjoy and kind of feed off of. And I think a lot of people, like we talked about, I've been doing this for a long time, so they feel like they know me. And they probably do know me because I'm authentic.
You are, yes.
I don't mean to say that, but...
No, you are authentic. And frankly, your personality and who you are really shines through your brand. I think you've done a really great job of creating an open, authentic, transparent brand that shows who you are.
Yeah, I think that that is probably a big part of it too, that they can see it in the brand. You know, it's not just what I'm doing, but the brand itself kind of carries it out. And, you know, I try to be as transparent as possible. And
you also do a really nice job of mixing personal and business. I know, you know, for a long time, people were saying, don't put anything personal on your business page. You know, it needs to be your business page. And I've told people that in the past too. Like, your business page shouldn't be your dog or cat, like, all the time, you know, right? You need to have a nice balance. But also at the same point, it shouldn't constantly just be business either, because people do want to know the people behind the brand and get to know that personality. And you have done a very nice job of kind of weaving in your own personal story and your personal interests with also what you're doing in the business. So kudos to you on that.
Yeah, I feel like people kind of connect more when you share more personal stuff. I feel like engagement is higher when there's a photo of yourself or something about your life, you know, as opposed to just a product. So it kind of comes from my blogging days. You know, I used to blog very consistently, and that is what kind of created this relationship with me and my customers. And I feel like I know I have pen pals. I feel like I know so many of them, people that I have never met, because of what I have shared with them and their response to it. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty incredible, really.
That is incredible. One thing you mentioned that I'd love to hear more about is consistency. I tell people all the time, and I try to practice this myself, that consistent content, whether it's via emails you're sending out or a social media post or whatever it might be, consistency plays a big part in how people are engaging with you. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way. In fact, I just kind of accidentally took like a week and a half, 2 week break from social media. I was traveling and stuff, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not being consistent. it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be consistent, but I definitely feel like it's very important to kind of keep people up to date and keep you in their minds, really.
Yeah. Well, and it sets expectations too. I was talking about this from an email marketing standpoint, and if they get used to hearing from you, let's say weekly, you know, when they don't hear from you, they start to wonder what's going on, you know. Yeah. Or so setting those expectations helps with engagement, but it also helps with sales and just keeping people in the know about what you're working on too. The other thing I would say is too that, and this isn't you, but, you know, some people just go to their email or their social feed when they're selling something, you know, when they have a discount or a sale or something like that. And I really try to push people, no, make it about like everything you're doing, behind the scenes type of work or, you know, photos. Don't just reach out. Tanya Dalton actually said this at Paper Camp Plus. She said, don't reach out when you're having a sale. Don't let when you're having a sale be the only time you're reaching out, because that trains your customer to only buy from you when you have a sale going on,
right,
which I thought was really good too. But anyhow.
I'm so mad I missed Paper Camp Plus. I wish I could have made it.
I've
heard a lot
of
good things about it. So,
well, thank you. It was a really great 2 days. It was a good group and a lot of great content. So we'll actually have something special coming out this fall about that, which I'll share with everyone later. I know, not to be a tease, but I'm going to be a tease. So, so going back to you, over the last 9 years, you know, you've seen a lot of growth, you've seen a lot of transitions, you've had pivots in your business, you've had personal changes like your move that you went through. Can you tell us about a transitional time specifically in your business where you were faced with like kind of a tough decision or something that you weren't you kind of had to wrangle with it to make the decision.
Yeah. Let's see, transitional. I feel like there's just been so many, but I feel like they have been small for the most part because it was such a long journey. One thing that I really struggled with doing is outsourcing work, most specifically printing. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that I know change is hard, and I for so long was, you know, doing pros and cons about what I should do. And once you make that change, it's like, oh, I should have done that so long ago. Yes. So I that made a big change in my creative, kind of in my whole process, like with shipping and accounting, you know, like it affected every aspect of my business. But now first of all, there's no way I could do all my printing myself. But now, like, what would I do if I hadn't done that? I think right. It's kind of those really hard ideas that are like the most important ones to follow through with.
Yeah, they're the most freeing too once you do make some of those decisions. So you mentioned that that one decision to outsource your printing affected other aspects of your business. Are you now outsourcing various components of your business?
I'm outsourcing not just printing, but also wholesale fulfillment.
Okay.
Which is just like I have a girl who takes product with her, takes it home, and kind of does it for myself. So yeah. I still do my direct-to-consumer fulfillment, but she does all my wholesale stuff.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of alums lately that are utilizing friends, family, even just people in the neighborhood where they live, and sending product home with them to be sleeved or packaged or even shipped out. And I think that's a great example of using what's around you and available to you to ease your burden.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I was talking to a friend and she had a sister-in-law, and, you know, it worked out great.
That's awesome. So what's next for Julianne Art? What do you have coming down the pipeline?
We are planning our hopefully October launch in time for holiday. And I'm really excited about it. I've been kind of just thinking more about my products and their purpose and my purpose as a business owner, just with the way the world is right now. I'm not going to get all political on you, but this past November, I released a limited edition print and donated a lot of the proceeds to organizations that I was passionate about. And it was so fulfilling. And it was like exactly what I needed. And it also felt like it was exactly what, you know, the people buying the print needed. We needed to know that what we were doing had a purpose and was good for something that we're passionate about. So I've really been holding on to that feeling and wanting to continue it into our next release. So products that are purposeful and, you know, proceeds being donated to organizations that I'm passionate about, and really just trying to do more. Like, I love my job, but this would make it all the more fulfilling. So
yeah. Absolutely. It's been interesting because I do think that the political climate, everyone all, you know, falls a different way, of course, but the political climate has definitely affected small business in the extent that I'm hearing more and more people talking about their vision, their mission, their purpose in their business, and trying to figure out ways that they can leverage, you know, our individual footprint in this world to do better, to do more, to, you know, to make things better and improve. So I really am excited to see what you come out with and to hear all that you're working on that front too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or connect with you on social media?
I am julianneart.com and julianneart across the board, really. Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, we will be sure to include that in the show notes for anyone that's trying to track you down if they're not already following you.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a lot of fun to catch up and to hear what you're working on.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Hey guys, it's Katie Hunt from Trade Show Bootcamp, and I have some exciting news. You have all been patiently waiting for the return of our Paper Camp e-course, and I'm excited to tell you that it's here. This is a virtual program that will last for 5 weeks. We'll kick things off in September and head into October. You'll get new videos to watch each week on your own, and we'll have a live Q&A call every week with me and special guest experts. But you gotta act fast because registration closes on September 15th. If you've been wanting to get your products on retail store shelves, if you want to launch or refine your wholesale program, or maybe you want to exhibit at large-scale trade shows, this is the program for you. To learn more and register, head to tradeshowcamp.com and click on Paper Camp eCourse. That's tradeshowcamp.com and Paper Camp eCourse. We look forward to having you there. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.